Today is Sunday, February 17th, 2019, and this...
I've been to Vegas over 100 times, and I've been an active part of taking $5 million off the casino tables.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 681.
Las Vegas, Nevada!
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah! Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Better than last week?
Yeah, I still hurt, but not nearly as bad. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I need to turn you up a little bit.
Okay.
And there we go. Is that better?
Yep. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, things are going all right. We get to talk about a little Vegas-y stuff this week. Mm-hmm. Kind of a tidy little week as far as news. Not a lot going on, but that's okay. So we'll get to that. We're going to get some phone calls. And then we're going to get on with our lives.
I'm just going to watch our dog chew on his toy. It's very relaxing.
Whatever keeps you entertained during the podcast. All right. Before we jump into some news, we want to thank our Patreon patrons for their listener support. This podcast is listener supported by awesome folks, including Andy and Jennifer from Wenatchee, Rob Shane, Ryan Moore, Jeremy Kassman, Cam and Patty McIntyre, Danielle and Tim Malik, Kelly Zancarella, and Steve McGuire. Thanks to these all of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate it. I have a blog post I have to put up. I have it written. I haven't posted it yet. But I feel a little weird putting it up because I feel like I'm yelling at people. I'm a little ranty in this one.
Oh.
And it's a little, I don't know.
That's so out of character for you.
No, though. I know. But this one is like... I feel like I'm being a little preachy in this one. I try not to be too preachy, but I don't know. That's how I felt when I wrote it. So we'll see how it's received. People might tell me to fuck off and cancel their subscriptions. Anyway, so that's going to be coming up soon. We've got some other stuff coming too. We need to get our live chat thing on the calendar too.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
If you're interested in supporting the show on a monthly basis, getting lectured by me on occasion, you get some bonus content. As our way of saying thank you, and you can visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. As always, thanks so much to all of our supporters. You guys are all kinds of awesome. All right, we've got some residency news, a bunch of it this week. And we're starting at Park Theater, which seems to be one of the places that we're talking about a lot these days. They still haven't filled the Britney dates. Most of those were, starting in March, I think her shows were starting soon. And then a lot of them were May, June, July, maybe September. And I looked today to see if those dates had been filled because I wasn't sure with the things that have been announced. If they had, no, all those are still open. In fact, there was like one entire month where they don't have anything scheduled yet.
That is odd.
Yeah. So I don't know what's happening there, if they're going to try to get something in there. But these dates are after Britney's run would have been, and it's an additional 17 dates from Aerosmith. They already have 18 shows that have sold very well, not necessarily entirely sold out, but pretty damn close. And now they're adding 17 shows in September, or starting in September, running through early December. Tickets are $68 and up, plus Ticketmaster fees and taxes. Realistically, you're probably going to be spending about $215 plus fees, based on the majority of tickets. The very, very upper level is, there's some sub $100 seats up there, but most of them are going to be in that $200 range or higher. They have a weird stage setup too. They actually have several rows of seats on the stage, on each side of the stage, kind of like the Lady Gaga jazz show, except for, like, on that, I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yeah.
For that show, they had, three or four little cocktail tables on each side of the stage,
yeah,
with a couple sitting at each.
Mm-hmm.
For this, they have, it looks like, three or four rows of seats and a bar on each side of this. Or maybe there wasn't a bar. Maybe that was somebody else's I was looking at. Anyway, that's a thing, apparently, to have seats on stage now, and they're not cheap. I think for Aerosmith, they're like $880 or something like that.
I don't know if I'd want those seats. I mean, it would be great to be close to the artist, but I don't want to be part of the show. I just want to see the show.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be crazy about that either. I'd rather have seats down front than actually be on the stage, I think. So anyway, if you're interested in Aerosmith and didn't get a chance to get tickets for the first run, you've got another chance now for the fall. Across the street at Planet Hollywood, there is a new residency, as expected. We mentioned a week or two ago that this was going to be announced soon. Didn't know the venue yet, but Def Leppard is doing another Vegas residency. They did a run at the Hard Rock, at the joint at Hard Rock about, what, 5 years ago or something, where they did Hysteria. This is not that show. This is going to be a greatest hit show. It's called Def Leppard Hits Vegas. And they've announced 12 shows at Zappos Theater starting in August, ending in September. It's a nice compact little residency. They're not spreading it out over a long period of time. But tickets for this are a little bit more affordable than the Aerosmith show over at Park Theater. I would say a big part of the reason for that is Def Leppard is on the road constantly.
Yeah.
Aerosmith isn't really touring all that much, so this is a little bit different situation. Whereas Def Leppard, they're probably going to roll through your town at least once a year if you live anywhere near a big city. So tickets are $75 and up plus Ticketmaster fees and taxes. The pit is $124. Aerosmith does not have a pit for their show. Tickets are on sale on the 22nd of this month, but there's already some pre-sale stuff happening now. You can, if you don't have a pre-sale code, which I wasn't really having a lot of luck finding one. Usually they're pretty easy to find if you just search Twitter for the name of the act and pre-sale. This one, not so much, but they have a thing where you can sign up. You can buy tickets and sign up for their fan club at the same time for another $50 or something. So if you really want to get pre-sale tickets, you can do it that way.
Here's a question.
Yes.
When you were, this probably doesn't apply to you because when you were in high school, you wore uniforms, right?
Yep, a Catholic schoolboy.
So, I don't know why I was thinking of this the other day, but it was a big deal in high school to wear your concert t-shirt the day after the concert.
You know, somehow I remember.
And I've probably mentioned that on the show before, but I was just
even though we had uniforms, we had plenty. It was a big deal to have free dress days where you didn't have to wear the uniform. And, I distinctly remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the next day, but I remember a girl in grade school wearing a Culture Club t-shirt and it being a big deal. So I don't know if that just coincided that the concert was the night before a free dress day or what. But so yeah, that was a thing in just a different way.
Like the day after Bon Jovi, half the school was wearing Bon Jovi t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
Big Bon Jovi following at your school, huh?
And Def Leppard as well, yeah.
They were wearing Hysteria Def Leppard shirts the day after a Bon Jovi concert?
No, they were wearing Def Leppard shirts the day after the Def Leppard show.
That makes more sense.
And the Bon Jovi shirts the day after the Bon Jovi show.
Oh, okay, I have a follow-up now. Yeah, that makes sense. Excellent. All right. Well, and yeah, okay. I don't really
even
have anything
though,
else to add to that.
Even though half those people probably hadn't heard Pyromania, or if they did, they...
Oh, they were posers?
They pretty much dropped their allegiance to Pyromania until Hysteria came out because it wasn't cool to like Def Leppard in between.
Those hypocritical sons of bitches.
I mean, if you had Def Leppard written on your notebook, as I once did,
wow,
in between those albums, well, I wasn't cool anyway, but that was like another...
I think you were. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, listen, people.
I didn't realize you were a big Def Leppard fan back in the day.
I wasn't. Like, I didn't even have the album or anything. I just really...
You just liked the logo.
Really, well, I liked the logo, but I... Rock of Ages and Photograph.
They're great songs. I love Def Leppard.
Oh, Foolin'. Foolin's great, too.
It is. Yeah. They've. We've seen them a couple times, haven't we?
We've seen them once.
Yeah, they put on a great show. So this it'd be fun to see them in Vegas. All righty. Moving on, another residency. This is a little bit different deal. This is a little lesser known act. It's going to be over a longer string of days. I've got sound clips because this group has not done an extended run of shows. We always like to feature some music most of the time when we're talking about such things. So let me fire this up.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you're sleeping, while you're far away and dreaming. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender.
You are listening to the sound of Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox covering Aerosmith. That'll be a theme. Well, not the Aerosmith part.
But no, but the covers.
Yep. I think this act is going to do very well in Las Vegas.
I think so, too.
So this group, if you're not familiar with Postmodern Jukebox, it's essentially a cover band, but they perform familiar songs in this style of other styles. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are old-timey styles. I don't know what the fuck you call that.
Big band?
Some of it is. It's not
kind
all.
Of, but there's swing, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some 50s stuff in here. And I pulled a handful of songs so you can get a feel for it. It's not really a set band. Like, here are the six members of Postmodern Jukebox. They have a revolving rotation. They have a bunch of different people.
A revolving cast of characters.
Yeah, if you look online for the list of people who've performed, it's like dozens of musicians, dozens of vocalists. A lot of former American Idol contestants have performed with them. Their albums have different vocalists on every song, and often familiar names from American Idol, or I think Wayne Brady did one of their songs.
Huh.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept, but it seems like kind of a neat fit for Vegas. A little Soundgarden.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving together, but still is.
So their show begins on April 12th. They're doing 100 shows at least. So that's a pretty good start, 100 show commitment.
Oh, yeah.
At Mirage at the 10AK nightclub. That's where Matt Goss performs. He's down to Sunday nights now.
I don't think he should be advertising himself as the king of Vegas then.
If he's doing one night a week.
At a nightclub in Mirage.
I agree.
Yeah.
Will things ever be the same again? It's the final countdown.
I know, this is great, isn't it?
It's like you're familiar with the song, you know the lyrics, but it's like, for me, it's hard to place it until they get to the chorus. And yeah. Then, yeah.
I like this one. This is fun. So it appears, like I mentioned, there's tons of people who play in this group on and off. It looks like they're going to have a couple separate, there's a touring group.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the road playing the U.S. and all over the world. Some of those dates overlap with some of their Vegas dates. So it looks like they're going to have a couple different versions of this going on at the same time. The one in Vegas they're going to be doing Tuesdays through Saturdays. Tickets are $51 and up plus Ticketmaster fees.
I'm having a hard time focusing on your words. I know this one.
Why would you not do Hanson in this style?
This is really fun.
It is fun. It would be a really good Vegas show. No, this isn't the first time they've performed in Vegas. In fact, they were there. It might have been last fall I saw it, and they did maybe 7 or 8 dates, so we didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I remember thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if this would come back as a longer run.
Mm-hmm.
And someone on the Facebook group mentioned they saw them at Chandelier when they used to have that little
area where they performance bands. Area.
Saw them there and it was really fun. So, I think I wouldn't be surprised if this 100 dates ends up lasting a lot longer.
Uh-huh.
This could be a thing. They became very popular on YouTube and it's gone out from there. You know, they're touring, they put out albums, and you can find their stuff online. Go to YouTube and you can watch. You'll get lost in a rabbit hole of weird covers.
Shaking that thing.
and she liked the bop. She was living the vida loca. She had dumps like a truck.
Truck.
And I was like, what?
What? What?
Baby, move your butt. I'll think I'll sing it again.
She really know how to class like up the thong song.
They do.
I was like, what?
I didn't think it could be classed up.
No.
Let me see that thong.
All right. So that's Postmodern Jukebox coming in April. To Mirage.
I do have to give credit to Dave Lifton, who we'll hear from later in the show for the King of Vegas.
Oh, he mentioned that?
Yeah.
All right.
Otherwise, I would not have known.
That. Yeah, that's a little bold, proclaiming yourself the new King of Vegas, especially when you are doing one show. I kind of forget about Goss now that he's not at the Barge anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't get as much. The Barge was a good fit for him.
It was. He doesn't get as much attention at one OAK, one Oak, one of a kind, one of a... whatever. I wonder how that is as a venue for stuff like this.
I don't know.
All right. Moving along. There's a new thing happening at Westgate. I have no idea whether this will take off or not. But they're trying new things, so I guess you got to give them credit. Westgate is...
Max is no longer interested in this toy.
Westgate has a new thing called Sunset Club. It opened this week, according to Las Vegas Weekly. It is a poolside day club. The pool, of course, is not open because it is winter. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to do a daytime thing outside. I don't know. I don't know what the audience is that this would attract, especially at Westgate. Westgate.
That's what they could call the pool area that.
It's 1 p.m. until sundown Wednesday through Saturday. Apparently, they have a DJ playing, and they end each... It closes when they play Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John. That's how you know it's over. Tickets are cover charges $25. If you're into drinking outside in the winter, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not even on their website yet, which is kind of unusual. Hmm. But like I said, they're trying something different. Maybe it'll be a thing with the conventioners who stay at Westgate.
Could be.
Oh, great, our dog. Max, shut up.
I think I jinxed it when I said he was really into his toy earlier.
I know. All right. Are we going to have to...
Do you want to pause while I...
Yeah, let's take care of him. Finally this week...
There was a squirrel outside. We're safe now.
Oh, thank you, Max, for eradicating that suburban yard rat. The Las Vegas Sun provided an update on the planned monorail extension. If you're not familiar with this, there are plans to extend the Las Vegas monorail from the MGM Grand Station over to Mandalay Bay. This would do a couple things. It would connect all of the major convention centers. It would also provide extra transportation for the football stadium, which is currently being built across the freeway from Mandalay Bay.
And which I hear will not have ample parking.
They're working out. I think they're going to have off-site parking. Oh. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But yes, you are correct. Construction was supposed to begin in June. The opening was going to coincide with the football stadium opening. Construction has not begun, so that is not going to happen. It'll take at least 18 months to build, so they're not going to be open in time for the football stadium.
Do you have the fail horns?
No, I don't. They're trying to line up financing still for getting this done. Officials declined to provide a new timeline. I think it'll probably happen at some point. I know they purchased the land they need to and got right-of-ways and things like that. It's just a matter of getting the money to make this happen. So, for now, it's on hold until they can get that all figured out, but I would imagine at some point the line will run to Mandalay Bay, which is it makes it at least moderately useful on game days. So, there you go. All right. And no, there are no immediate plans to extend it to the airport or downtown, which is what everybody really wants. Okay, moving along. We've got some phone calls to get to. Here we go.
Hi, Podcast and Cinema Michelle. This is Dave from Chicago.
Hello, Dave.
Calling midway through my current trip. Just wanted to give an update on a few things that have since opened recently. Number one is Santos Tacos, formerly in the old Bomb Taco spot. And hopefully we'll be there for a while because it was quite good. And the decor is very cool, very kind of like Mexican Catholic themed, and you place your order at the Taco Confessional, but the CO is in the Taco and Confessional are combined, so it's like Taco Confessional. Also, Michael Simon's new restaurant, Mabel's Barbecue, an outpost of his Cleveland place. Went there for lunch. It was barbecue. It was great. It's kind of hard to fuck up barbecue. I wouldn't say it was spectacular, but it was very good. I had the, chopped pork sandwich with, the mustard based sauce, which is made with a, spicy mustard. And, more importantly, the craft cocktail menu is, fantastic. I had a strawberry mint margarita and also a, Manhattan that had, hazelnut bitters and, some other type of bitters in it. But it's really, really good. And it's not, too overpriced for a celebrity chef restaurant. It's in the Palms. And I also had, as a side dish, the spiced mac and cheese, which was excellent. So, I'm about to go out of the town and start my drinking for the night. And, we'll see what happens, for the rest of the trip and if there's any reason for me to call back. Bye.
All right, we'll hear more from Dave in a little bit. Yeah, we wanted to check out Mabel's. Never made it over there during our last trip. The menu looks delicious,
yes.
And I've been hearing good things about it. So, there's also a restaurant within a restaurant at Mabel's that specializes in meat. It's speakeasy meat. I think they're calling it a meat-easy. I don't know how I feel about that term. It's called Sarah's, but that would be something to check out too. I just saw Michael Simon on a... some sort of a competitive cake show on Food Network hosted by Giada. And he was one of the judges and they were making a cake for his restaurant. It was before Mabel's opened.
Yeah.
So they had these very elaborate pig character cakes for that. And it was moderately entertaining. He seems like a very likable guy.
Good.
And he said he's a big fan of Vegas and of meat. And who doesn't love barbecue, right? So that'll be that one stays on the list. I got to make
barbecue
sure we get over to Mabel's one of these times. So nice to have things at Palms.
Yeah,
that are like, oh,
I need to go over there and check it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm really pleased that they're back in the game. All right, next up.
Hey, 500. It's Derek from Excelsior. Calling with a trip report from January when a buddy and I flew down for our annual birthday trip. We both celebrate in late December birthdays. Anyway, we stayed at Flamingo. Wah, wah. Here's the story. We had a two queen high roller view. Room wasn't ready when we got there, so we had to stow our luggage and come back later. Bathroom sucked. The sink didn't drain, so there was this perpetual sink scum. The shower head was too narrow, couldn't be adjusted. The beige tub next to the brilliant white tile looked like a bad teeth whitening job. And most of the outlets were either under or behind furniture. I found that more annoying than I probably should have, but whatever. Now, kind of a funny story. When we got there, we turned on the vent, you know, just to get a little air movement going. And immediately the room's filled with a strong smell of the pot. I called the front desk just to make sure I didn't get charged a cleaning fee for a non-smoking room. And the gal seemed to give no shits at all. It must happen all the time. I told her they should just put dryer sheets in the vents, but I don't think she got it. Other than that, the hotel was everything we needed. It was in a great location. The room was close to the elevator, and it was very quiet. The biggest downer of the trip, though, was probably Envy Steakhouse. Located in the Renaissance Hotel, it's right behind the Wynn Golf Course on Paradise Road. Points for ambiance and dessert, but that's about it. Our starters were both decent. I had the French onion soup, and my buddy had the crab cakes. But really, the only reason we went here is because we wanted a good steak on this trip. We both ordered the porterhouse, but we felt like it wasn't really much better than what we could have made at home. The filet side was decent, had tenderness and some flavor, but the strip side was tough and chewy. It was good charring, but otherwise it was pretty disappointing. And our side of lobster mac and cheese had no evidence of lobster whatsoever. The service started out good, but it faded as the meal went on. At the time for our check, the waitress was nowhere to be found. The cheesecake and chocolate cake were both pretty good, I don't feel like we got the $200 value we supposedly received. I should mention we use a Groupon for this visit. Maybe that's just my warning to not use Groupons. Anyway, my last complaint is this. Ride-sharing pickup spots are an absolute mess right now. It is so confusing. I even got charged a $5 cancel fee by Lyft on this trip because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I disputed the fee on the Lyft app and was immediately given a $5 credit. No questions asked. So if anyone finds themselves in that position, please don't hesitate to do that. But I was glad to hear on a recent podcast that Circa is actively trying to improve this process in their build-out. Hopefully others will follow suit. End of rant. Anyway, I'll call back later with some more highlights, but some actual highlights. Peace.
All right. Thanks for that. We will hear more from Derek later. One thing, they move around those ride-sharing pickups once in a while. It's gotten better because it's been around for a while now, so most of the hotels have a decent spot established, but it's not necessarily where the cabs pick up. It's sometimes in another area, and that can be a bit of a challenge. I recommend, if you're planning on using ride sharing, before you go, to bookmark uberinlasvegas.com. It's not going to necessarily be 100% accurate because spots do move
around.
But it's pretty good as far as telling you where those locations are at each hotel. So I found it useful. I've pulled it up several times. We ran into it during our most recent trip. We were at Aria after one of the Lady Gaga shows, and we were trying to get
a place. Yeah, that one's hidden.
Yeah, you have to go down to the nightclub and then outside, and then it's a little bit of a hike from there. It's in a weird spot. They do have security. One of the things about MGM properties, I don't know if it's all of them, but both at Park MGM and at Aria, they had security that was running interference, getting people to their proper car. So
a car would come up and they'd call out your name and say,
"Yeah,
yeah."
I actually tipped the security guy, which is weird because usually with a ride sharing you don't. But yeah, I tipped them because they're essentially doing
a valet job.
Job of the doorman,
right?
So. Anyway, something interesting, and it did make things go pretty quickly. And then if the person they were yelling for wasn't there, they would have the car pull up a little bit so they could continue it on in a relatively smooth manner.
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, uberinlasvegas.com, very helpful. All right, we'll hear from Derek again in a moment. In the meantime, let's hear from our old pal, Melanie.
Hello, 500. It's Melanie with part two. Anyway, Hard Rock, drink coupons, yada, yada. I used to go to all the time. That was my home base. Sometimes I didn't even leave when I went on a trip to Vegas. Our group would just stay there. Anyway, that was probably 10 or 15 years ago. I'm interested, super interested, to see what will happen with Virgin taking over. So I believe this will be the last Avian before they do that. And we'll see if they host it. It's a great venue for it. It's a lot of fun. Okay, in a totally different realm, I got a gambling story. I want to hear what your listeners would have done. So I'm at the View Bar. It's 6 in the morning. I'm getting some of their delicious coffee. I think it's called Zimmerling's or Zimmerman's. It's Detroit coffee. There's a coffee stand, and it's great. I go up to the View Bar to drink my coffee, play a little video poker. It's 6:30 in the morning. The progressive is up to $2,300, and hardly anyone's playing. So put some money in, keep hitting stuff, got a straight flush, got four of a kind with the kicker. I got aces with the kicker. Anyway, so I'm just having this great session, but I'm chasing that royal. I got, and I counted them, 24 to the royals. And I know nobody wants to hear about that, but when it's the stakes are that high, it was so exciting. I didn't even want to go to the bathroom because I didn't want to miss it. So anyway, as the morning wore on, more and more people came. A lot of button bangers, but it was really fun to be in that energy of, holy cow, that thing's huge. The bartender said he'd never seen it that big. I know, that's what she's done. But I'm wondering, has anyone else seen a progressive like that? It got up to almost 2,400 by the time I left. I put 3 hours in. At one point, I was $600 up. I'm like, I'll play another 100. So I got down to $500 up and cashed out. But this is after 3 hours, like I said. Would you, gentle listeners, have continued and gone on? What about you, Tim? What about you, Michelle? I mean, the View Bar is outstanding. Bartenders are friendly. People are friendly. I could use a little more modern music. I mean, I like that 60s stuff, but in any case, you can see outside, which I love. What would Tim do? WWTD and WWMD. The people want to know. Thanks for the great show, guys. Bye.
All right.
I would have taken my $500, and I mean, I would have tried, but after a point.
Yeah, I would play as I would, regardless of what the progressive was, just because the amount of the progressive doesn't change your chances of hitting it. So I know there's the perception that it's due, but that's not really how it works. So yeah, probably wouldn't. Yeah. I've done the same thing, I should say. You know, Four Queens, they have a bunch of different progressives, and I chase those fuckers every trip. And I'm often playing 50 Cent or Dollar. They have some, I think it might be a Jax or better variation, where the progressives are
depend on the suit.
Yeah, each of the suits has a different progressive for the Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Dollar, it's not that uncommon to see one of those, one or more of those progressives get to like $9,000-$10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of the equivalent of what you were looking at for the quarter progressive. So yeah, some of those do get pretty high.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself one of these days it's going to hit, but
yep.
You hit that nice one though at Four Queens.
That quarter one was nice.
Almost 1900.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but yeah, 2300.
That was a pleasant surprise.
So yeah, it's easy to chase them when they get that high, but I play very aggressive video poker regardless.
Yes,
it doesn't even need a progressive, and I'm like totally into it. So I would do whatever I would naturally do regardless of the progressive size, size, I guess. But that's cool. Sounds like a lot of fun. And, oh, man, I need to get myself in front of a video poker machine now. Thanks, Melanie. You put me in that mode now. All right. Let's hear from Dave again.
Hey, it's Dave again. It's 2 seconds after the last time I called because I forgot to mention that I also went to the Neon Museum, and I just wanted to give a very special thank you to everybody who contributed to the campaign that we had to put up a pave a stone along their walkway in the memory of Al from San Diego. It was, you know, I've gotten pictures of it. First from the museum, then from you, Tim, and some other people who had gone to see it. But it was still very, very moving to see it in person and to think about just how incredible this community of Vegas lovers that you have helped create and that has sprouted up around your podcast and all that. And it's just really wonderful. It's just increased my love of this city even more. And I just wanted to say that and again to thank everybody who is responsible for it. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that. Yes. What he said. I can't really add anything else to that other than yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up.
Tim and Michelle. It's Ted from Scranton. I never really had much reason to call into the podcast. You know, I never felt I had a whole lot to add to the conversation, but I can't fucking believe this. I am having the most financially lucrative trip to Vegas I've ever had in my life. I arrived here on Sunday night, Monday morning, Cosmo, triple-double bonus, four aces and a kicker, $1,000.
Nice.
Monday night, Planet Hollywood, catch the big one, reel them in slot. Caught four of those fish for a total of $600 in a bonus. Tuesday morning, Planet Hollywood, four aces in the kicker, $1,000. Wednesday morning, Four Queens, Wheel of Fortune, $500. Wednesday afternoon, Fremont, triple-double bonus, four aces in the kicker, $1,000. And about an hour ago, Downtown Grand, my very first Royal after 21 years of gambling, another $1,000. I can't believe this shit. I can't fucking believe it. I love you guys. You got a retroactive karma donation coming your way when I get back. I love you, and have a great one. Bye.
Oh, congratulations,
man.
That is
awesome.
That is fantastic. Yeah. I love when our listeners do well.
Yes.
That is awesome. And, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, there's no better feeling in the world when you just can't stop hitting like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's great.
Well done. All righty. Let's hear from Derek again.
Hey, guys. It's Derek from Excelsior again, going back to part two of my January trip report. There were a lot of highlights on this trip, but tops for me was easily brilliant at Neon Museum. And I've always enjoyed the museum, but their focus has always been the same. They're about preservation, not restoration. So I've always accepted that I'd never see these beautiful signs ever lit up. So when I learned about Brilliant, I knew I needed to see it. So just the background on me, my first trip to Vegas was my bachelor party back in 2007. We stayed at Imperial Palace, had one of those awesome jacuzzi shower rooms. And we spent a lot of time at O'Shea's. And then every time we'd go back, you know, we'd spent a lot of time at O'Shea's and make tons of memories there. And part of me died when that was taken away. So when I saw these O'Shea signs alive again, it was so exciting. You know, throughout the show, I began to think about all the memories that had been made under all these old signs by so many people for so many years. It was truly moving. I'm probably overselling it, but I've never had a bad experience in the Neon Museum. And I would love to see them expand what they've done with Brilliant. We spent a lot of time at Cosmo this trip, thanks in part to the overwhelming support it received from the 500 Awards. I definitely concur with other callers that Hattie B's is legit. Great food, great location, quick service. Got the chicken sandwich, got the medium heat. I don't usually do spicy, but I found this was just right for me. It was a great combination of heat and flavor. Block 16 in general has a nice feel to it, a very comfortable Vegas-y food court. Also in Cosmo, we had a fabulous cocktail at Chandelier. It was a delicious and easy drinking concoction of various coconut liqueurs and a basil garnish that surprisingly played really well together. I finally found out that the drink is actually called Natural Selection and not Shit Forgot, like we were joking about on the Facebook page. Finally, we made it back to everybody's favorite, least favorite secret pizza, which is always just what I need, just when I need it. Made it to the Arts District for the first time, checked out Hot Mess Brewing. I'm a brewer by trade, and our brewery, along with many others, recently did a collaboration beer with Sierra Nevada. The goal was to raise money for that awful campfire in Northern California. So when I found out that Hot Mess did the same, I made a point to stop by and try it. All their beer was good. Location was chill. Folks there were super cool. I'd definitely go back. The Arts District itself seems to be well on its way to becoming a popular destination. The only drawback was that it really didn't feel like it was in Vegas when there, and that'll probably determine how else my return. Anyway, I can't say enough good things about Taco and Beer. It's off strip. It's on Paradise, kind of behind the Venetian. But honestly, some of the best tacos I've ever had. We've been there twice now, blown away each time. Tell them what you like. Let them suggest the tacos for you. You won't be disappointed. It's so good. And such a well thought out beer list. All I can say is go. Anyway, so much to say. So little time. Thanks, Tim and Michelle.
And he got cut off.
Oh, no.
But he was wrapping things up. Thank you for the calls. We do
yes,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Great reports. And yeah, that's a really cool way of looking at the Neon Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of not just, okay, here's a piece of history. Here's a physical piece of history that came mm-hmm. off these buildings. But all the things that happened at those places.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a little bit of that.
Like
a little
that
bit
time
of that
you
back.
Went into the men's room at O'Shea's.
Yeah, exactly. We all have our O'Shea's memories. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which is different from the time you went into the men's room. It's lots of fun.
And never came out. So many men's room memories in Las Vegas. Many of them creepy and...
Yeah.
Disturbing to everyone.
Yeah, we still haven't seen Brilliant, and I want to.
Yeah. But Neon Museum is great. They do wonderful work, and that's...
They do.
That's one of the things I think it's so great to keep that alive, not just for to preserve the physical history, but what's tied to that. When you see mm-hmm. something like, oh, man, I remember that time I went to Westward Ho and drank the shitty 50-cent margarita.
Mm-hmm. And watched their lounge act and had free ice cream.
Yeah,
yeah,
bring some of that back. So, you know, it's all about memories, so why mm-hmm. not, right? All right. Thanks for that report. We do appreciate it. And finally, we're going to wrap it up with another report from Dave.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. This is Dave Liston calling from Cosmopolitan, making one last donut run before heading to the airport, going with the king cake and the Vietnamese iced coffee for the record. One final thing. I did go to a Vegas Knights game, and as much as I like that there is professional sports and I want them to want the team to do well, that arena is fucking oppressively loud. You cannot fucking hear yourself. I'm no Luddite or cranky old guy, only when it comes to volume, but there's no reason on earth that a punk rock show should be quieter than a random announcement for an Ed Bernstein penalty kill. I've been to, you know, arena rock shows, punk rock shows at small clubs, not nearly as loud as that. Get your ass in here, Vegas Knights. Keep things at a normal level. Bye.
Also, get off my lawn.
I think the line forms for complaining about how loud things are right outside of Long Bar.
Yes.
It's always a good sign when someone tells you what they're not while they're complaining about that very thing. thanks for that. I appreciate the call.
Yes.
Did you think... I never really... We've been to two games.
Mm-hmm.
it didn't strike me as particularly loud compared to like Minnesota Wild games I've been to here.
Yeah, because Minnesota Wild games are loud.
Yeah,
too.
Hockey games are generally loud that I've been to, but I don't have that big of a range of things to compare it against.
Yeah.
In terms of other hockey arenas, did you think it was exceptionally loud when we were there?
I didn't.
No,
I didn't
either.
But
Dave's off his rocker. Forget it.
I wonder if it depends on where your seats are.
That probably, yeah, that could be. Maybe he was directly underneath one of the
speakers or something. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for all the calls. We do appreciate it, as always.
Go Knights, go.
Go Knights. All right. One Karma donation before we run. Thanks to Joe. He's heading to Las Vegas today, I believe, for a guy's trip, staying at Golden Gate for the first time. Looking forward to de-stressing for a few days.
Well, thank you and good luck.
That's what it's all about, de-stressing. I hope it is a low-stress trip and that you have a wonderful time. And I wish you all the luck.
I have some hardcore Vegas withdrawal right now.
Man, winters are hard. All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts. 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back very soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.